The condensation on the glass of the chilled Sancerre was the only thing keeping my hands from shaking as I sat across from them at the corner booth of the Gilded Anchor, a place where the lighting is dim enough to hide a career-ending mistake but bright enough to see the predatory glint in Julian's eyes. He wasn't looking at the menu. He was looking at the way my silk blouse caught the candlelight, while his wife Elena, our senior VP of operations, reached across the table to lace her fingers through mine, her skin smelling of expensive bergamot and a terrifying level of entitlement. We weren't there to discuss the Q3 projections or the fact that I'd just landed the Northeast accounts that had been stagnant for a decade, though that was the pretext of the invitation. No. The air in that booth was thick with a different kind of commerce, a transactional heat that made the back of my neck prickle with a primitive warning that I was being hunted by the very people who signed my paychecks. Elena leaned in, her voice a low, honeyed rasp as she told me that the most successful leaders in our industry understood that traditional boundaries were just cages for the unimaginative, and that they had watched me move through the office with a fire that deserved a more private stage. I remember thinking that the office was a kingdom, and they were the bored deities, looking for a new toy to break. It started months prior with the inner circle dinners. Small gatherings that felt like high-level networking but always ended with the wine flowing too fast and the topics turning toward the fluid nature of modern desire. They spoke about their marriage like a startup, optimized, transparent, and open to new investors. And for a second, in the haze of professional ambition and the intoxicating feeling of being chosen by the power players, it felt like a new kind of freedom. They made me feel like the repressed one, the one who was too scared to grasp the full spectrum of a high-power lifestyle, using phrases like radical honesty and professional intimacy to bridge the gap between a promotion and a proposition. Julian's hand moved to the small of my back as we stood to leave, the pressure of his palm a claim, a physical receipt for the dinner and the mentorship, and the promise of a corner office that I realized, with a sudden cold clarity, was only mine if I was willing to share their bed. The shift from empowerment to entrapment happened in the quiet moments of the Monday morning following that dinner, when the office lights felt too clinical and the hum of the HVAC system sounded like a low-grade panic attack. I walked past Elena's office and saw her watching me through the glass, not with the warmth of a mentor, but with the cold, calculating gaze of a collector checking the status of an acquisition. A calendar invite popped up on my screen for a deep dive strategy session at their private residence for Friday night. No agenda attached, just a wink emoji from Julian that felt like a lead weight dropping into the pit of my stomach. I realized then that the networking wasn't about the industry. It was a filtration system designed to find women like me, ambitious, slightly isolated by our own success, and eager to please the people at the top. The freedom they preached was just a sophisticated leash, and the openness of their marriage was a vacuum that sucked in subordinates and spat them out when the novelty wore off. I tried to decline gracefully, using the frantic language of a heavy workload and a sudden family commitment, but the atmosphere in the office soured before I even hit send on the second excuse. The radical honesty they championed turned into a weaponized whisper campaign that moved through the cubicles like a virus. It started with the small things. Elena omitting me from the distribution lists for the high-stakes calls, Julian forgetting to credit my lead on the Miller account during the morning scrum, but it quickly escalated into a calculated character assassination. I'd walk into the break room, and the silence would be so heavy it felt physical. The younger associates looking at me with a mix of pity and disgust because Elena had spent the afternoon confiding in the HR lead about her concerns regarding my boundary issues and inappropriate fixations on her husband. She played the role of the betrayed mentor, with Academy Award-level precision, painting a picture of a young woman who had mistaken professional kindness for a romantic invitation and had become erratic when rebuffed. The gaslighting was surgical, a masterclass in workplace manipulation that left me questioning my own memory of those wine-soaked dinners. They didn't just want to fire me, they wanted to erase the version of me that was a threat to their carefully curated facade. Julian pulled me into a glass-walled conference room in full view of the entire floor, his face a mask of disappointed professionalism as he told me that my recent performance dip and the rumors regarding my personal conduct were making it difficult for the team to trust my leadership. He spoke about the importance of a cohesive culture, his breath smelling of the same expensive bourbon he'd poured for me 3 nights ago when he told me I was the future of the company. But now his eyes were as flat as a shark's. He offered me a graceful exit, a severance package tied to a non-disclosure agreement that covered not just trade secrets but personal interactions, and I realized the NDA wasn't for the company's protection. It was for theirs. I stood there, looking through the glass at the sea of faces I used to lead, seeing the way they turned their heads away, the way the open couple had successfully closed the ranks against me. The stakes weren't just my job anymore. It was my name, my history, and the terrifying realization that in a world of predators, the one who refuses to play along is the only one who gets eaten. I looked at the pen in Julian's hand, then at the predatory smirk he couldn't quite hide, and I knew that if I signed, I'd be disappearing into the silence they'd built for me. I felt the heat of a bridge burning behind me, a fire I was about to start myself, because the only thing more dangerous than an open marriage in a closed office is a woman who has nothing left to lose but her voice. I reached for my phone, the recording app already running in my pocket, capturing the sound of his voice offering me money to bury the truth of what they really did during their networking sessions.